This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. I want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
This is Dirt and Spray.
In other news, the Prime Minister of Sweden visited Washington today, and my tiny little nipples went to France.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
You might have noticed I've got a slight weight problem.
No.
Yeah, I do.
No.
Yeah, I do. I went to this doctor. He told me I swallowed a lot of aggression along with a lot of pizzas. Pizzas.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
I want to party with you.
If the two of us together... Get it.
The Fan.
All right, welcome back in. Hour number two on The Fan. If you missed the first, we talk with Mario Cristobal. We podcast that one. We're going to bring it back in the final hour, probably four or five cuts of some of the questions that we asked and the answers that he gave. We have a lot to get to here in this second hour, but we're going to start with the Jared Goff deal.
Ooh, love that money.
I didn't expect this one. I thought this was going to be something that came mid-season, if not right as the season ended, because they do need to have that conversation. They broke it yesterday. Adam Schefter, a four-year extension worth $134 million with a new NFL record, 110
Ooh.
Guaranteed. Now, Bill Barnwell, give me a second here.
That is unbelievable. Isn't that unbelievable?
Bill Barnwell had an interesting tweet that I hope it picked up some traction. If you don't follow Bill Barnwell as an NFL fan, you're losing out. This dude is really sharp, really smart. Here we go. He tweeted this. Carson Wentz's guarantee, quotes, of $108 million was really $66.5 million at signing on paper and $81.9 million in practical guarantees. Still a lot, of course, but would expect Goff to come in somewhere between $85 million. As opposed to the $110 million
that's being
quote.
Reported. Yeah. The most misleading thing, I think, in all of sports is NFL contracts.
Even guarantees. There's like partial guarantees.
Sure.
And then there's structures to where if you, you achieve certain things, that's a guaranteed. But let's just use the guarantee for what they said. 110 guaranteed. Jerry Jones has got to be crapping his pants.
He's got to be crapping his pants. It's an incredible amount of guaranteed money to give to a guy. And I think the interesting part, too, is you add on the fact of his, I think he had one more year left on his rookie deal or two more years left because they had picked up the option. It turns out to be an average salary, I want to say somewhere in the range of $33.5 million. This is just kind of the going rate for quarterbacks now. And I still maintain eventually we're going to find a team that says, you know what, we trust our system, we trust our head coach, we think that the success of the quarterback is more to do with what's around him. We're not going to pay him that amount of money on an annual salary basis, so we're going to trade him or find a solution there. Some had wondered if Jared Goff would be the first to get that treatment of Sean McVay's the genius, Todd Gurley's been the focal point of that offense. Like, you can do that with a lot of quarterbacks, you don't have to pay him that much. Well, that went right out the window because they signed him, and I'm with you. I didn't necessarily see this one coming. I think the Cowboys need to be panicking. And the Chiefs, look, you feel good about Patrick Mahomes and who he is, but holy smokes, man. If you're giving this guy $33.5 million per year and $134 total over 4 years, like...
He's going to get all that money, by the way.
Yeah, and he's going to be around. They're not getting rid of Jared Goff.
They should basically say, with quarterbacks like him at that age, even though it's like a 4 or 5 year, they basically, Dirt, should just say $134 guaranteed. He's getting all that money. They're not going to change quarterbacks.
No, they're not going to change. Unless something goes terribly wrong, I don't see that necessarily happening. But yeah, I think Kansas City and Dallas need to be panicking. And this is a big year, really, for both guys that under the radar signed their extension. You know, there was a little noise about Russell Wilson because he was rumored going to hold out and he wanted that deal to get done. And so that was kind of a discussed thing. And then he got his deal and nobody batted an eye over it. And then immediately he's topped by Carson Wentz. And then a couple of months later, here's Jared Goff coming in with a new deal. And you have a couple of guys who are young in their careers And both, I think, have interesting questions around them. Like, Wentz got his deal. He hasn't been able to stay healthy back-to-back years, and they were still willing to commit that amount of money to him. Nobody denies the quarterback that he is when he's healthy, but he's got to prove that he can play 16 games. He's got to prove that he can do it when it matters most, because that team's been on back-to-back postseason runs, and guess who hasn't been the quarterback? Carson Wentz. And I think the same questions exist for Jared Goff. Like, I get that he led a team to a Super Bowl and he was outstanding and has been phenomenal over the last 2 years after a terrible start to his career. But there's still questions about how much of it is the offense, how much of it is his head coach. And he's had the best running back in the NFL the last 2 years to lean on, not only in terms of running the football effectively, but also dumping it to him out of the backfield, making things happen, making something from nothing. And that might not be there for him this year because we don't know how healthy Todd Gurley is going to be. So both these teams clearly willing to give the money away to guys going into their fourth year, despite there being questions around them. And I think they both have a lot to prove this season.
So this is Jared Goff. He played 7 games his first season. He was 0-7. He had 5 touchdowns and 7 interceptions with a 54.6 completion percentage.
One of the worst rookie years we've ever seen from a quarterback.
One of the worst. The very next year, 11-4, 28 touchdowns, 7 picks. And then the year after that, last year, 32 touchdowns, 12 picks, and obviously 13-3 to a Super Bowl. I'll tell you what, though. I'll tell you what, man.
It's starting to happen to you, too. You're starting to talk like Gruden.
Knock if you're with me, huh? The one thing about the narrative about Goff, I don't disagree with you. Like, people still, I think to this day, have a very big, what are you without that guy, right? I feel like that's an irrelevant thing now. It does not matter what he is like without McVay, because
McVay's your head coach.
Well, McVay is also not leaving.
Yeah,
he's in Los Angeles. He's in the, one of the biggest cities you could be in as a head coach. It's a glamour city. They're the glamour story. They're going to be the ones headlining the new stadium that gets built in 2 years. Everything is set up for him to be there for Bill Belichick type time, right? If that guy can stay sharp and be on top of it, he won't go Gruden. He'll probably stay more the Belichick or Andy Reid avenue, where he's always winning. He's always putting you in contention and you never run him out. I tend to believe that's going to be the case for him. And if that's true, who cares what he is without McVay? With McVay, he's a really freaking good quarterback. And you shouldn't allow just the Super Bowl to go, well, no, we got exposed. Guys, Bill Belichick exposes the AFC East 6 times a year. 6 times a year. Yeah. He exposes the NFL 6 out of what? What is this run? However many Super Bowls. They've been in 8, 9 Super Bowls now.
That's crazy.
He does this the entire league. I'm not going to allow that game for me to go, well, he can't do it. He made some big throws in that Saints NFC title game. That was on the road. He's the quarterback. You give him credit for that big win. He's not leaving McVay. Okay. So who cares what he's like without him? Because, with him, he's really good.
I say this about quarterbacks often. I don't like finishing the final chapter of a book before we know what he's going to turn into. Like, it is unfair to say Jared Goff is X as of right now. Therefore, he will be X in 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years. The guy's been in the NFL now for 3 seasons. We don't know what kind of quarterback he will turn into. And I say the same thing about Dak. Like, I get the fear and the trepidation about giving Dak Prescott that amount of money, but you're also, in saying he's not worth it or it's overpriced, like you're also not granting him the ability to improve and move forward. So I think you need to point that out, and I need to point that out with Jared Goff as well. I think a lot of the concerns you have about Goff or the way he played in the postseason. Like, you think back to 2 years ago when they hosted the playoff game against Atlanta. They all, as a team, they had a disappointing performance. Atlanta went in there, knocked him off, and it was a disappointing loss for him. Then last year, I know you mentioned the New Orleans game, and he did. He had some big throws in the second half of that football game, no doubt about it. He wasn't necessarily lights out throughout, and without a pass interference call, they likely go on to lose that game. Not completely his fault, but the Dallas game they won, their first playoff game in the divisional round, he was 15-28 for 186 yards. They won that game because they had 2 100-yard rushers, which was shocking to people because Dallas had the best front 7 for most of the year last year. So he was a non-factor in that playoff win. And then in the Super Bowl, he was 19 of 38, and he threw a pick.
He was really bad in the Super Bowl.
He was bad in that game. So I think that's the... And again, I'm not going to judge his career off of one postseason run. That's completely unfair.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, I think that's where the how good is Jared Goff conversation comes in, of saying this guy's got a genius head coach. He's racking up big numbers in the regular season, but Gurley gets a little banged up. He doesn't have all of his weapons, and you get this in the postseason.
He reminds me of Troy Aikman.
I think that's a fair analogy.
You know, like, Troy Aikman made really big plays and made some beautiful throws and was a really good quarterback for a long time, for a stable, multi-championship winning team. Does that make him the best of his era? No. Nobody would have picked Troy Aikman as the best quarterback, but he was really stinking good, and that's what you needed to take you over the top. That's what Jared Goff is. I mean, you mentioned that playoff game against Dallas. No doubt. He wasn't perfect in that game. 186 yards, that's not much of anything. But when you're running it at that clip, you don't really need your quarterback. Brady's had games like that where Brady throws for a buck 80, but they ended up having somebody, a Corey Dillon, sure, a Michelle, whoever the hell the running backs have been over the last 18 years.
Without a doubt.
You know what I mean? Kevin Faulk, you remember Kevin Faulk, mm-hmm, back in the day? He was instrumental in some championship runs. It just about, I think, is in game in the moment. If you're running the ball, who cares about your quarterback winning the game for you? Run the ball. If you need your quarterback to win you a game, I think he has also shown you can flip that. You can point to other games that he's played really well, and he's led them to wins. Again, I think that Saints game, he doesn't really get the proper credit, and there's something nowadays where, because of how good his coach is, we feel like we saw him his rookie year, he's not
what
he looks.
That's the real Jared.
Right,
no,
right. You get this mix-up of what he was rookie year versus what he's been the last two.
Which is unfair to him.
It is unfair, because what he's doing is he's being handed a playbook, he's being asked to do this and do that, and he goes out and does it, and he looks really good doing it. So why are we so hung up on what he's like without his head coach?
Fair.
When, again, I don't think his head coach is going anywhere, so this is the combination
that
you have.
This is who he is, yeah, and that's completely fair. I think it's just going to be fun to watch these guys moving forward. One, Wentz has a lot of pressure on him. Like, he's got to get out of that Nick Foles shadow. Nick Foles won a Super Bowl there. He's a legend. There's a statue of him now outside of that stadium.
Is there a player in the NFL that has a more pressure-packed season than him?
Well, I mean, some guys could lose, like Mariota and Winston could lose jobs, so maybe in that regard, he's not going to lose his job at least, so he's got that going for him.
But it's
going
to be loud in Philly and not that loud in Nashville.
He's got a mean fan base breathing down his neck to go out there and perform in a division that they got a really good chance to win on a really talented roster. And I think the same thing exists for Goff, because, you know, the last guy that we kind of did this with, now granted he was around for a little bit longer, but I kind of view him in the same regard almost to a Jared Goff, is Matt Ryan. Like, Matt Ryan is a good quarterback. Nobody disagrees. He's a good quarterback, right? He's had a lot to work with that just clearly benefited him. He's had maybe the best wide receiver in the NFL his entire career to throw to in Julio Jones. The guy was an MVP a couple of years ago and took them to a Super Bowl, and without an epic collapse, Matt Ryan and the Atlanta Falcons have a ring, and they took one away from Tom Brady, which would have been awesome to see. What has Atlanta done since then? You know, like, some of the pieces come and go. They haven't been able to maintain the continuity. He's had a little more pressure on him to try to perform.
He also got that money.
He got that money. And you haven't quite – he got paid, and it hasn't quite translated into the same amount of success that you would have liked to see. Now, again, they have to pay him. Like, the only alternative is you're moving on and you're finding a new quarterback, which is incredibly risky because quarterbacks in the NFL don't grow on trees. They're not easy to find. Look at the Dolphins, the Browns, and all these organizations that have been looking for a guy to lead their team for 20, 30 years. So this is the going business now in the NFL. You got your guy. You feel like he's your guy. You got to pay him $30+ million a year. But I do think what comes with that, it's like Batman. What do they say? Like, great expectations come great responsibilities, or whatever the line is.
That's Spider-Man. Butchered the living hell out of that. But go ahead.
That's the way I view these guys. Like, that, you're on your rookie deal. You're cute. You're making $5 million a year, whatever the hell it is. Like, congratulations. That's cool. You're now making $33 million a year. You're now the highest paid quarterback in the National Football League. You better go play like the highest paid quarterback in the National Football League.
Well, let's stick with the NFL, and we'll go to Dallas, because there's two storylines in Dallas. One of a guy that got paid and another guy that's waiting to get paid. We'll talk about that next on The Fan. All right, welcome back in. To Z Fan. I saw this tweet. I got to pass this along. Ryan Fitzpatrick has had 7 kids. Born in 7 different states.
Wait, really? He's got 7 kids, huh?
He'll become the first quarterback in NFL history to throw a touchdown for 8 different teams if he throws one against the Ravens on Sunday. This person says all that, and then he finishes, "The man is versatile, mysterious, and from the skies."
Yeah.
He's a god. But we're talking Jared Goff, and we got Zeke Elliott also got paid. 6 years, $90 million. $50 million guaranteed. So really, when you weigh out the last 2 years of his rookie deal, it's 8 years, $103 million. If you're curious how that stacks up with Todd Gurley, which is the guy to beat for all the running backs, Todd Gurley Sunday, 4 year, $57.5 million deal. His $45 million in guarantees were the top billing, and now they've beaten that. You don't get to say this very often outside of his team choking. Jerry Jones lost this and lost this bad.
Well, yeah, he did. But what was the alternative?
Well, to him, Tony Pollard looked really good.
Which was always BS. This was going to get done. He loves Zeke. He understands that he is the centerpiece of everything they do on offense. And this was it. Like, if you wanted to have Ezekiel Elliott around, you needed to make him the highest paid running back in the NFL, which is why the song and dance all preseason at times was laughable. And people, you know, maybe he would have ended up sitting out a couple of weeks because they didn't feel like they needed him. But Jerry Jones is a businessman, and he understands that this is good for business. Zeke is 24 years old, so he's got a lot of time left. And he's unique because he signs this extension with 2 years left on his rookie deal. So on that aspect, it ended up being a smart move for him. He's got leverage. He didn't wait until he had 2 more years of mileage on his legs and his body when he's 26, where maybe Dallas would have been hesitant to sign him. He's still young. He's got a lot to improve on and grow in the NFL, and this was always going to get done. Dallas's offense is not what it is without Zeke that it is with Zeke.
Okay, so Zeke gets paid. I think most people assumed he was going to get paid, right? I don't think that was ever in doubt. It was just...
he wasn't
going
to take a disc. Like, if you were going to sign him, that's why I don't necessarily buy that Jerry Jones... like, Jerry Jones knew this is what it was going to take.
So why did you wait?
It's a good question.
What did you get out of the last month? What did you get out of it outside of seeing your old ass face on TV every day and people talking about
the
Cowboys?
I think Jerry Jones likes that. I think he likes seeing his old ass face on TV, and he likes people talking about the Cowboys.
I think there's also a reason that they haven't won a Super Bowl since 96, and that's part of the problem. But
sure.
I think if you're a Cowboy fan, you're a little frustrated. You're happy he's coming back, but I think you are a little frustrated. Like, you beat Todd Gurley. That's all he wanted to do was beat Todd Gurley. And you know what? He has a really good argument to beat Todd Gurley. So why did this take so long? I don't think we're ever going to get the answer to that. Maybe Jerry Jones will say it in their presser, but Ezekiel Elliott is officially locked up in the for the Cowboys.
Maybe it was figuring out the deals for some of the other guys because they signed, Jalen Smith, and they just signed Lael Collins to an extension as well. So I don't know. Maybe he wanted to get those deals done, figure out what the budget looked like from that point.
Is the right direction to go sign the defensive guy, the offensive lineman, the running back, and then save the quarterback? Because now that Jared Goff has gotten 30, is it 32 or 33 a year?
I think it averages out, I think, to 33 and a half.
Okay, and then he gets 110 guaranteed. You'd wonder why you wouldn't want to do that first and then go, okay, what do we have to play with here? But they haven't done that yet because Dak is still awaiting his contract. What's that number going to be? Should it even be what Goff's is? I mean, I know a lot of people will make this argument, but they've accomplished less than what the Rams have. At least the Rams can say, well,
we got to a Super Bowl.
He went 11-4, and then we went to a Super Bowl the next year, so it makes sense for us.
Yeah, what's Dak? I think Dak's, 1-2 now in the playoffs, right? Because they won his rookie year, and they lost to Green Bay in their first game, right? And then this last year, they beat Seattle and then lost to the Rams in the divisional round. Yeah, so he's 1-2. Yeah, but again, this gets back to the difficult question. This is the world we play in. You either pay him or you don't. Like, Dak Prescott's not going to take a discount. Ezekiel Elliott was not going to take a discount. This is the way NFL players handle negotiations now. My contract's up. I want a new deal. If I'm in that conversation for being one of the better ones in the league, guess what? You need to make me the highest paid insert position here in the National Football League.
Oh, so if you're in the stratosphere.
I think that's the way all NFL guys handle it. Like, Jared Goff's not the best quarterback in the NFL. It's a laughable notion to say that he's the best quarterback. And I don't think many people would even put him in the top three, probably not even in the top five. But guess what? He just got $100+ million guaranteed and set the record for most guaranteed money in a deal. This is the world that we live in.
You know, you just derailed my entire evening now. I'm going to sit on my patio. I'm going to sit outside. I'm looking up at the sky, and I'll just be thinking, are there 5 quarterbacks I would take over Jared Goff?
Is Carson Wentz better than Russell Wilson?
No.
Okay.
No.
Russell Wilson signs a deal, and he get $107 million guaranteed, which set the record for most guaranteed in a deal. Carson Wentz signed immediately after that. You know how much he got total guaranteed?
$800,000 more.
$107,870.
Yeah.
It was all about just being number one. Most of these, you would think it would just be like, all right, give me a deal and that's cool. And this is where Melvin Gordon is falling short, because Melvin Gordon, at the position he plays, is not going to get that kind of deal. Like, if somebody's offering you $10 million a year, man, you jump at that and you take it. You're not going to get more than Gurley. You're not going to get more than Ezekiel Elliott. But if you're the Cowboys, Dak is going to ask for that. I guarantee it. He's going to ask for mid-30s, and he's going to probably want to top what Jared Goff just
by
got.
Like a, it's going to be by like
by
a
$500,000
or
$1 million. Yeah. So the options are, A, sign him. B, you don't, and you franchise tag him after this upcoming season, or you move on from him. And we know what the Cowboys are going to do.
Yeah, that's true.
They're going to give him the contract. I mean, this is just the reality of the NFL and why it puts so much pressure.
And then they still have Amari Cooper, by the way.
And I think Amari Cooper might end up being the casualty there. You saw this in Seattle when Russell Wilson got his deal. Like, all right, you can't pay everybody. You want to keep Frank Clark? Absolutely you do, but you can't afford him because so much of your salary cap is tied up in a small number of players. This is where I think it highlights the added pressure on quarterbacks. And it goes back to the Jared Goff conversation we were having. Like, Jared Goff, I believe, let me see what it was. He was going to make like $5 million in 2019. Okay. Now it's all, you just added basically $30 million to that equation. That took $30 million away from your team that they would have been able to go get another wide receiver, another left tackle, another running back. And this, like, again, it gets back to the Matt Ryan problem. Like, when you then commit, when you go from having a cheap deal to an expensive deal, this is why people always say the modern way to win in the NFL is to get a quarterback that hits early and win while you have him on a rookie contract. Because once you get to the point of having to pay him, can you build a Super Bowl championship roster around them? And to this point, like, we haven't seen it. You look at some of the highest paid quarterbacks in the league: Russell Wilson, Ben Roethlisberger, Aaron Rodgers, now Wentz, Matt Ryan, Kirk Cousins, Garoppolo, Matt Stafford, like Derek Carr, Drew Brees. These guys, as of late, have not won a Super Bowl. And I think the people who say quarterbacks aren't worth it would point to they're taking up too much of the salary cap and you can't build a winning team around them.
I almost, to that point, I would say then it's not even just about titles, right? It's just about availability and the alternative.
That's a rational way to look at it.
I don't know who it's going to be. There's got to be one team in this run of paying quarterbacks what they're paying them that's going to say no, right? And say, yeah, that's not our model. Our model is we need to draft guys and we need to win on rookie contract at the quarterback position. It's a ballsy play, but what's Mahomes' number going to be?
He's going to make $40 million a year.
If Dak gets $111 million guaranteed and then edges Goff by $10 on a yearly basis, what's Patrick Mahomes going to be asking for if he has another MVP-like year? He's going to go 111. I want to bump that to 150.
I just want back-to-back MVPs. Are you kidding me? I'd throw 50 touchdowns back-to-back years. Give me the money.
And the other part of that, too, is as great as things go, like Mahomes not wanting to leave Andy Reid, I would totally understand. A guy that helps you learn the game better, one of the better offensive minds the game's ever seen, why would you leave? Some of these guys sign up for these teams, and then they re-sign, and then they re-sign, and oh, shocker, they're still not winning like they want to. I also wonder if there's going to be a guy that goes, they're only going to offer me that, huh? No, I'll play this out, and then we're going to free agency.
Tough part is you got to be willing to do the Kirk Cousins thing where you franchise tag back-to-back years because teams are going to do it.
You do, but that number's still going to be really good, right? Kirk Cousins was making top money on the franchise tag in back-to-back years, and if they would have done it the third time, I think the number was something like 38 to 42
he would have
a year.
Been easily the highest paid quarterback in the NFL for that one season.
But if you're willing to do that and then you go on the open market,
risk it. Yeah.
Teams are lining up at your door, knocking, going, we'll give you an ownership stake if you come play for us.
It makes it so difficult to build a championship roster. Somebody eventually is going to do it. And I agree with you. I thought Jared Goff might have been the first. That clearly is out the window now. They had no problem paying him. The other trend, I think that this getting back to Zeke is going to start now in the NFL. I think you're going to see running backs do this. You're going to see guys that don't want to approach the end of their first contract because we know as a running back, there's a limited number of miles and seasons that you have to play at an elite level. And you get a lot of trepidation from teams of not wanting to pay a guy the older that they get. We saw Le'Veon Bell do it. He was going through the franchise tag stuff. They didn't want to sign him to a big extension. Zeke had 2 more years left on his deal. 2 more years. And he held out and he just got the contract that he wanted. So I guarantee you that guys like Christian McCaffrey, Saquon Barkley, insert any other running back, young running back that you want that's going to be next up in line, they're going to see that and say, all right, that's smart. Why would I wait until I'm 26 years old and a free agent to negotiate my contract because I don't have the same value? I'm going to do it at the age of 24 when I still feel like I'm in the prime of my career and the team can still not have the concern of wanting to pay me that long-term money.
This listener says, think I heard LaDainian Tomlinson say that elite players have a duty to each other to press the market so you're always pushing the money higher.
Yeah.
And then that helps the mid-level players.
Without a doubt.
I think what Le'Veon Bell did, I think what Ezekiel Elliott did, they've worked. You know, you can go, Le'Veon didn't get what he wanted. Le'Veon Bell got a lot of money.
He got, $30 million guaranteed or something like that?
I think it was higher than that. And the Steelers were offering him really 10 guaranteed if you broke down their structure.
Yeah, from a franchise tag and then the contract they offered. Yeah.
Right? Ezekiel Elliott holding out, going to Cabo back and forth. Well, Zeke's not a team player. he won. So I think there's a lot of validity to guys that are in the top half of the league, the top half. I'll even go half. Probably do have an obligation to always be pushing it higher and higher. And really, it didn't start, but I think Kirk Cousins accelerated this process exponentially when he got 84 guaranteed and everybody went, what? That guy?
That guy got 84 guaranteed?
I know I'm better than him.
Yeah.
And it was a good thing for quarterbacks. Yeah. And somebody else saying, it doesn't seem like players are too interested in winning anymore. It's all about the money, not legacy. I strongly disagree with that too. It's always been about money. Always. Jim Brown left the NFL because he got to make more money doing something else rather than playing football. It's always been about the money.
Yeah.
What's different or why you may feel that way is because the percentage of the cap is committed to one player now
versus
not having a cap in the past and letting teams just do whatever they wanted. I think you look at it more as players are pushing the envelope financially in a sport where players aren't compensated the same level of baseball and basketball players.
Yeah, you brought it up yesterday. The contracts are comparable to like Markieff Morris.
Middle of the road right. NBA role guys.
Average dude.
But to say that they don't want to win, well, does that mean Dan Marino didn't want to win? He stayed with Miami, right? There's a loyalty aspect to this that football, it hasn't been changed yet. Yeah. Quarterbacks are largely, Kirk Cousins is the outlier. Quarterbacks are committed to one franchise until a catastrophic situation pops up or somebody sends out a tiny ween pick to a reporter.
It's usually the way it works.
So take Peyton, take Brett, take Kurt, and then point to me guys that just, well, he jumped around. They don't do that.
It doesn't happen at
their
position.
They're still committed to their original franchise.
Well, and it's a sport in which you don't know how long you're going to play. You don't know how long your career is going to be. You have to capitalize and maximize your earning potential because you're one play away from having it all be over and all that guaranteed money going out the window. That's why guys are fighting for the amount of money they can get. And how many of our audience, like for the, they don't care about winning, they just care about money. Like how many people out there, if I gave you the option, you can be number one in your industry. Like you're the best car salesman or you're the best lawyer, the best doctor, best radio show, whatever. How many people would choose that over being the number one paid at your respective job? Not a lot. Like maybe some, sure. But if I said, hey, I'll
far more on the highest paid than being number one.
I'll have you be a middle of the road school teacher or being the highest paid school teacher in the country.
Highest paid every time.
So, I mean, that's just a reality that I think most of us live in.
Well, and the listener texts back into Brady taking pay cuts. No doubt.
He's the anomaly. Nobody else is going to do
it. Nobody else. Yeah. And he's talked about this in late night interviews, right? We jokingly always say it's Giselle. He's admitted it. Guys, I'm worth $500 million with just my wife. Why do I care about the extra $10 million a year? I'll take the pay cut because it'll help me. I want a long career. I want to play till I'm 45. Yeah. Not every quarterback has that, right? So, I don't know. Very interesting where this quarterback stuff is going, but Jared Goff gets paid. Dak Prescott's presumably going to get paid, and Ezekiel Elliott gets paid. We're going to stick in the NFL. We got more storylines. Is a true contender out there sniffing around the Melvin Gordon situation? We'll tell you more on that next.
Hey, welcome back in. 135. Got a lot still to get to in the next hour and a half of the show. Statter story, of course, coming up at 215. It is a Wednesday. Well, Ezekiel Elliott got paid. The other running back holding out has not gotten paid. And now the Chargers have apparently put him on the trade block. That is Melvin Gordon, who still wants his deal, has not gotten one yet. Now we're on the brink of the season beginning tomorrow night in Chicago. It was reported yesterday that the Chargers, I loved this asking price, wanted a first-round pick and a fifth-round pick for him. Good luck with that.
With a guy that they have to pay and we're giving up that? What?
Good luck with that. So that's obviously the one that's thrown out there in the media. They're not going to get that, but that's what was rumored. Albert Breer, though, has reported that the main team to start circling around Melvin Gordon and ask questions about what it would take to get him are the Philadelphia Eagles.
Mm-hmm.
And he also reported that they have offered in the recent days former Bears running back Jordan Howard and a swap of mid-round picks to get Melvin Gordon. Now, this is going to be an interesting one to watch. And it goes back to kind of the Le'Veon Bell situation from basically the last 2 years. And that is, if you are to trade for Melvin Gordon, you have to be willing to give him the extension.
Yeah, if you're trading for Melvin Gordon, you want to pay him.
You're going to pay him.
He's your guy.
Because you can trade for him, that's great. But if you don't give him the contract extension, he's in the same spot that he was in with the Chargers.
He's not going to want to play for you.
And he's not going to want to play for you, because why would he play for you when he could have played for the Chargers under the same final year of his rookie deal? So that isn't a unique one I think you have to keep an eye on, which is why they're not going to get a first and a fifth, because somebody's going to have to commit money to pay him. So the Chargers, I think, are trying to figure out what they can get for him. But would you be willing to not only trade for Melvin Gordon if you're Philly, but also give him the contract extension that he wants?
No. No. I think Melvin Gordon is a damn good football player, and him not being there along with Derwin James and Russell Okung and some of the injuries that they've been dealing with are leaning me to want to maybe bet the Colts plus the six. That's how much I feel about that one. But, you know, you got to be careful, because certain situations are not the same as others, right? So if you go to Philly, they've already paid Carson Wentz. Do they want to commit that kind of money to a running back? I don't know if a story has hit us out of left field quite like the Melvin Gordon one did this summer. Nobody had mentioned rumblings of him being frustrated, to my knowledge. You never heard it talked about. It was kind of just assumed. And then LA probably said, we're not going to give you X. And that's that. And he reached his conclusion that I'm not showing up. I remember hearing about that story. He was sitting out and he was going to hold out till he got paid, and then he wanted to trade.
Yeah,
I was blown away over the two-week course that storyline took. And to see contenders step up is encouraging, because I do think he can help a team get over that hump. But if I'm the Eagles, like I don't think that sits well with Eagle fans. They want to pay their offensive line. They yeah. want to keep their quarterback and hope to God he gets back to MVP form. You paid your pass rusher in Fletcher Cox. Not a lot of teams are wanting to pay running backs, which makes Ezekiel Elliott's story such a big deal. Is that's a lot of cash
yeah.
for a position that most people feel like is just kind of replaceable very easily.
Speaking of the Eagles' offensive line, do you see him in the ESPN body issue?
Gordon?
The Eagles' offensive line.
They're all naked?
Mm-hmm.
No. They're still doing that?
Yeah, it's been all over ESPN today. Yeah, I can't avoid it. But I think all five of them.
Who buys that magazine?
I don't know. But they all five pose. Like, in the pictures I've seen, they're all five. Like, the whole offensive line's like the thing. The whole Eagles' offensive line.
I've always kind of wondered what the point of that issue was. Is it empowerment for women or men? Is it empowerment for...
Just to see the athletic physique, I guess. I don't know.
I have no interest in that.
Okay,
you don't. They're pro athletes. Let me guess. They're in shape and their bodies look as such.
Offensive linemen are pretty big dudes. That's all I got for you. Not in that. Okay, that's...
Whoa.
Anyways.
Did you see the front of those pictures?
Yeah, it was all... They bear it all.
I thought those hogs could block me.
Not you and me, huh, buddy? I think the interesting part about Melvin Gordon, too, is... And this goes back to what we were talking about with Dak and Zeke and those guys. Like... The trend in the NFL now is to be the market setter, right? Like, whoever the next up in line is going to top the previous deal. And I just think that's the way NFL players handle negotiations.
Mm-hmm.
And you saw it from Goff and Wentz. Dak's going to do it. You saw it from Zeke. Like, Zeke was not going to settle for anything less than what Todd Gurley got. He thinks he's the best running back in the NFL. And if the Cowboys wanted to sign him, they had to give him that amount of money. Here's the issue with Melvin Gordon. He thinks that way, but he's not. Like, no team is going to be willing to give him $15 million a year to be running back. Like, the reports, and again, we don't know all the details of the contract the Chargers offered, but we did hear the rumors that it was around $10 million a year. So Le'Veon Bell, I think, makes somewhere 13-ish, so he's behind Gurley, and now Ezekiel Elliott. So it would have put him in the roughly top five paid NFL running backs if he were to sign it. Like, you take that deal if you're Melvin Gordon. Like, this is, I think, a guy who's getting bad advice. Like, you're not in that same caliber. No team that trades for you is going to be willing to make you the highest paid running back in the NFL. If the Eagles trade for you and they offer you, I'm sure the negotiations will happen before the trade goes down. But if you're going to get $10, $11 million a year, man, take that. Not yeah. everybody has to be the dude who resets the market. You're a good back. You don't know how much longer you have left to play in the league. You're not going to be the highest paid back in the league. We just saw that with Le'Veon Bell. He held out, he waited, he got his deal. He didn't get a market-setting deal from the Jets. He got a really good contract, and he's top three paid back in the league, but he didn't get number one. Melvin Gordon, I hope, would handle it the same way if he gets traded. Like, all right, give me $10, $11 million a year. Let's give me a decent amount of guarantee, and let's make this thing happen.
Well, and Zeke, on the eight-year average of $103 million, because if you break down the rookie scale with the extension, that's what it is.
Yeah, yeah.
That's 12.8 a year.
Yeah. because he's making $5 million for each of the next 2 years, I think, something like that.
Which, when you consider how valuable he is to their offense, I mean, they're a Super Bowl contender with him. I don't put them in close to that category without him. You want to run Tony Pollard out there for 16 weeks, you go right ahead there, man.
You go ahead there, Bob.
But I think you're spot on Melvin Gordon. I don't know where the advice comes from. Maybe it's just like an arrogance of, look, I know how good I can be when I'm on the field. The problem is he hasn't consistently been on the field. And the other problem is that, quite frankly, he's not in the top three. And I think he should also be a little concerned. If I was him, I'd be keeping an eye on Zeke and Le'Veon. Not for contract purposes, because they got their deals. More so of Le'Veon sat out a whole year.
He did.
Who's to say he doesn't suffer an injury in week one? You be out of football for a year. You might be training. You might still be conditioning. Your body got a break, and now your body's going to go back to taking huge hit, week after week.
Sure.
I hope he stands up. I hope he stays healthy, but we'll see. Zeke, too. I mean, Zeke missed training camp. He may or may not play week one, and then he'll be back. But, yeah, training doesn't matter to me. Like, oh, he trained. Everybody always makes a big deal that he's been conditioning. It doesn't matter because at the end of the day, when he comes back, he is still going to feel and look like he's out of shape. It's different from a game situation versus having your trainer and posting those videos on Instagram. If I'm Melvin Gordon and both those dudes get hurt, I'm instantly rethinking my stance here. And who cares? If you have to go back to the Chargers because Philly doesn't want to pay you $13 right. million a year.
Give me $10 million a year, I'm good.
Dude, tuck the tail between your legs, walk back, take $10.5 million a year. Be happy about that because you're really right on the shelf life of these guys. You don't know when it's going to turn on a negative side, and that still puts you up there in that conversation of people will say Zeke, Le'Veon, Gurley, Gordon. They're throwing your name into the top paid backs on a per year basis.
Yeah, put your ego aside. Go get your money. We'll see if Melvin Gordon's willing to do it. But the Chargers put him on the block. They're asking for a first and a fifth round pick, I believe, in return for that trade. So far, the only offer that has been reported, at least, is from Philly. And that was essentially Jordan Howard, who is scheduled to be their starting running back this season for the Eagles, and then a swap of mid-round picks. So I haven't quite got that first and the fifth they're looking for, but it's also a difficult dynamic because whoever trades for Melvin Gordon has to give him the contract extension that he is holding out for. So we'll see how that one plays out because we are on the eve of the NFL season, kicking off tomorrow in Chicago, and then everybody else plays on Sunday. A couple of more NFL notes to get to. There's more drama around a dude who just doesn't know how to avoid drama. Also, a head coach has had enough with a talking point. We'll get to those crunch time next on The Fan.
The pressure's on.
We have an opportunity to reestablish ourselves, get a big win. Not all is lost.
Who's feeling the heat?
Now we got to go home and make sure that, you know, we take care of business there. Shame on us if we don't.
It's crunch time. A look at the hottest topic in sports. Brought to you by Crunch Fitness. As low as $9.95 per month. No hassle, no pressure, no gimmicks, and no judgments.
Hey, crunch time. I was at the Glorious House of Gains today.
All three of us were.
Let's go!
If you missed it earlier, we opened the show. By the way, I have a new crunch time read. They want me to brag about my golf game.
Why?
Because I can hit the golf ball really far. I've been doing like functional training to work on my golf swing. Like, my trainer figured out in the spring, like, really the only thing I care about. There's not many things that get me fired up in life. And my zest for life is not at an all-time high unless you're talking about certain things. One of them is golf. So he tailored all of my workouts around my golf swing. And let me tell you what, bud.
So tell us the read. Go ahead.
I mean, that's essentially it. They just want me to riff about my golf game and how far I can hit a golf ball. I can hit a 3-wood almost 300 yards now.
God, Steve, Dirt's just killing this new read. You need to...
dominating the dojo.
He's just dominating right now. I wanted to point one thing out real quick on the NFL issue. I don't know if you're going to stick with the NFL or move on.
Yeah, we got a couple NFL things to get to.
Our good buddy in Philly.
Yeah, John Marks.
He quote tweeted us and said... Portland radio station asking this question.
Because we have a poll question today. Which quarterback would you rather build around, Carson Wentz or Jared Goff?
So when I looked at his tweet and I clicked the poll question, it was at about 300 votes. Or no, it was like a 200-some votes early on, and it was Jared Goff was winning.
Did he swing the results in Philly?
We're at over 500, and now Carson Wentz is a 71% over Jared Goff. They have totally Phillied and skewed the numbers.
We need an LA radio station to tag the tweet, and so we get some. Although there are no Rams fans,
I was going
to
say the problem is LA sports fans aren't real and they don't care.
If you missed it, we opened the show today talking about today was the official squat off at Crunch Fitness. We had the squat off at 8:30, and Jason Swigard, to his credit, showed up. Now I will say he had a defeated tone upon arriving to Crunch. Like, I was talking to him as he was filling out his waiver, just in case he got hurt.
Well, he came as Jason and not as Swag. So yeah, I have a thing that when he wears glasses, he's Jason. Most of the time his glasses are off, and he walks around here and he's
Swag.
Need
the glasses to drive.
Yes.
Got to see what's
right. Gotta see
down
where
the
you're
road.
Going. Yeah.
But you didn't take them off, and so I think that actually affected the confidence walking in of, like, I'm Swag.
Yeah.
I can do this.
He didn't have any swagger to you.
Yeah, I got to look at the whole squat, like, bar thing, and it was like, what did I get myself into?
So Swag kind of gave a, he's filling out the waiver, and he gave a let's get this over with kind of vibe. Like, let's do this. Okay, I'm ready to go back to work. This isn't
going
to happen.
He knew he wasn't going to achieve it.
He knew he wasn't
going
to pull it off. He did not bring any workout clothes, which, by the way, I did enjoy. He just, like, normal, what he wore, golf shorts and a polo.
That was like he was sweating.
No, yeah, I just, you know, didn't no shorts, nothing like that. He just was wearing the work clothes. The video is up at 1080 The Fan on Instagram. You just got to click our story and you could go watch it. It's a couple of minutes long. We started with him lifting the bar, which was a little wonky.
Also, I cursed in that, so sorry.
Yeah, you did. Yeah, you cursed.
A couple times.
So he did the bar. We were a little nervous. Then we decided to throw 135 on as a, all right, let's get some weight on the board and see how we do here. Now, he did 135, and then we jumped up. The over-under was set at 185. So we jumped up and we put 190 pounds on the bar, and he was unable to get it. So to answer the question, can Swigard squat 300 pounds? The answer is no.
Well, and I think it was more a, you know, the moral of this story is, though, kids, if you don't ever lift weights, don't think you can lift heavyweight. Right? That's what I walked away with. Swag in the moment. It's a radio show, so sometimes you're riffing.
Sure.
And I still don't remember how this was brought up, but you looked at me and said, could you squat 300 pounds? And I said, no. And then Swag just voluntarily, yeah, I could do it. And, you know, that turned into a thing. And then Sukanik heard about that. And then, here we are. But overall, like, doing things like that, you absolutely need to be building up to it. Like, you
need to build up to it.
You squatted the 300 pounds today.
I did. I accomplished it.
If I took you back one calendar year, would you be able to come close to that?
No, I've been building my base all summer, man. Building that golf swing base. So I got the tree trunks ready to go. I also have a squatting advantage because I have a squatty body. Like, I have a short squatting body.
Yeah, your legs aren't as long, and Swigard's about 6'1", dude.
Like, for me to go down 6'2". And get back up, it's a lot easier for me because, you know, it's a shorter distance.
But he also thought... He thought his strength is in his base.
He did. He bragged.
He's got big legs. He's got big thighs. He's always storming around. He walked an 11-minute mile.
Yeah.
Did you learn something about the actual strength, though? I mean, like, with weight training.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's a lot of weight, man.
A lot of weight.
How did it compare to the dog? Like, even the bar probably felt a lot different, right? It's longer. It's metal, it's on your neck.
Well, the only thing, you know, Shook texted me. He was all inspired. He's like, just, you didn't hurt yourself. I said, no. The only thing that hurts is right up there on the spine, up near the neck where the bar rested.
Yeah, you get
I
the
was
bar,
surprised
man.
They didn't get, we didn't get a pad
towel
for
or something.
Oh,
I should
come on, you Nancy. Well, you don't need
I mean,
a pad.
Football players
But that's
use
the
pads
only
too.
Thing that's no, on. I did not. I know there are people who's like, oh my God, Swag's going to, you know, just lose his guts right there in front of everybody.
Would you have, if you would have gone down with the 300 pounds? Because we
well,
put
he
the
fall.
I would have
fallen.
I would have crumbled.
He would have just crumbled underneath it. Yeah.
Okay. You saw it. It's 2 inches off the bar on one side. He would have collapsed.
Yeah, the final, if you watch the video on Instagram at 1080 The Fan, we put the 300 on for
put
him.
Put it on. I tried to go, and I mean, nope.
just to like lift it up, you know, see if you can hold it on the shoulders a little bit.
Nope.
You know, and I haven't maxed out in a long time. And in your defense, I mean, that's a lot of weight. Like, I got up to 300 and did it, and it was, that's about all I got. And it was a struggle to get that thing up, so I don't know if I would have been able to handle any more weight than that.
Somebody says it's not there anymore. You may hear something. Hold on.
Okay.
No, it's just me.
Oh,
so
really?
Does live go away?
No, it should be. Well, fine. We'll figure out how to put it back up. Yeah, somebody. I got that earlier too. So if you start the story, does it not open back up again?
Well, hold on.
Or is it just your show tease?
No, we did the Zeke post was our first one, and then I did a three-story thing of our show, so the live went away.
All right, well, we'll figure that out. We'll figure out a way to get it back up there.
I'm feeling squatty, Tony. I always think of Lars, too. That's one of my favorite role characters in a movie.
It's a great one.
Lars in Heavyweights.
So that happened this morning. We did the squat off, and it did not quite go according to plan for Swagger. But, you know, hey, the new challenge, the Swag Olympics are one of my favorite things around here, and the next one will be swimming the Willamette, and I'm sure there's something that's going to pop up in the next year, like jumping a bike or a skateboard. Who knows what the hell the next one's going to be.
No, that I've been around and seen my son who knows what he's doing.
You're not going to try it.
He currently is, well, I think he just got his cast off on his ankle for breaking a bone in his ankle skateboarding. So, yeah. No, I balance not good on wheels for swag. That we're not even going down that road.
Dude.
Water, I fare much better on or in water than I do on anything on wheels.
Okay.
Dude, how about this guy? This listener or this woman, I don't know. This listener says, 695 pounds squatted three times is my best.
It's a lot of weight.
740 single rep.
It's a lot of weight, man.
700. How did you?
It's incredible.
How?
I know. I will say for somebody like who does occasionally do that, like squatting to me is much easier to max out at than like a deadlift, for example. There's something that scares me about deadlifts because you're looking down and you can see the weight and you realize like when you're trying to do 300 pounds, like, oh my God.
This is a lot of
weight.
Like
you're looking at it like, how the hell am I going to lift this thing off the ground? Whereas with a squat, it's kind of out of sight, out of mind. Like you just kind of look down, you don't look in the mirror and like you lift it, you know it's heavy on your back. But you can't, I don't know, there's that confidence there. It's a mental game for me. So that's an incredible amount of weight, though. One NFL note to get to, by the way, Antonio Brown not happy again. Did you see him take to Instagram today?
No, I didn't. So, he got fined, right, by the team?
Yeah, he got a bill from GM Mike Mayock.
He personally signed it.
He personally signed it, and Antonio Brown screenshotted it and put it on Instagram. The bill, or the note reads, as you know, you did not participate in the Raiders walkthrough on August 22nd. Your absence from practice was unexcused. Accordingly, you are hereby fined $13,950 pursuant to Article 42, Section blah, blah, blah of the NFL Collective Bargaining Agreement. You were previously fined $40,000 for missing Raiders preseason training camp on August 18th. Please be advised that should you continue to miss mandatory team activities, including practices and games, the Raiders reserve the right to impose additional remedies available. And it goes on and on and on. Antonio Brown took a picture of this, and he wrote on his Instagram page, "When your own team want to hate, but there's no stopping me now, devil is a lie. Everyone got to pay this year, so we clear." At Reed, tag his team in it too. So
are we picking Denver or Oakland because of these shenanigans and the way this is looking again in year two? Because it's a pick 'em right now. It's the second Monday night game.
I love it's like when your team wants to hate, like you didn't show up.
They also supported you.
You didn't find your helmet. You didn't show up. Like, what do you think happened?
It's a team sport,
They're
bro.
They're not hating. Like, you got to show up to practice, man.
They also gave you the money you were looking for in Pittsburgh.
What the hell are we talking about here? Where is that game? In Oakland or Denver?
Well, it's in Oakland, but I don't know if Raider fans are jacked for this year. It might be their last year with the team.
Remember, they had the second half of the Monday night game last year with Gruden, and they got Derek Carr threw a bunch of bad picks.
That was the Ram game, right?
I think they lost to the Rams.
I think I'm taking Denver. I think the shenanigans are not working for them.
That's one of those, like, you just wonder if it crumbles if they got off to a bad start. Like, how bad does that locker room get? We'll get to, by the way, Hard Knocks in the final hour. I didn't watch the final episode, but I'm curious how people felt about this season. So much hype going into it. Did it live up to the hype? We'll get to that coming up in the final hour. One other NFL note as well. There is crunch time as the squat off happened today. Swigard didn't quite pull it off. Crunch trainers can work with anyone on how to lose weight the correct way and gain strength at the same time. So, Swigard, you're just a personal trainer away, man. You can get it. A couple weeks, you got that.
Hook me up.
Hook it up. He's got it. All right, coming up in the final hour, Statter Story at 2:15. We'll replay. We had Mario Cristobal on the show earlier. I thought he had a couple interesting things to say about the loss, the program, and the direction they're going moving forward. We'll start, though, with a coach and a quarterback again beefing or not beefing, but the coach is tired of the narrative. We'll start the final hour there next on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.